The Sane Asylum. The lunatics truly have taken over the asylum. That's why I created the show, The Sane Asylum, for compelling conversations such as this. And I was just informed that tonight, instead of Robert Raybould, who's taking the night off, the great Frederick C. Blackburn, a.k.a. Blackbird 9, who had a phenomenal run of 6 years with his Breakfast Club and is now doing his Saturday snack shot on RBN. Frederick's sitting in for Robert Raybould tonight, so that'll be an excellent 2 hours. And so I had just injected my two cents about the perceptions of whites and blacks versus the reality that many do get along. And so like to give everybody the opportunity to have a final say, and then we'll open up the phone lines. So let's start with John Friend, then we'll go to Io, and then we'll finish with Dave, and then we'll open up the phone lines.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say briefly that that's totally been my experience living and growing up in America, and I've lived like all over the country, and interacting with people of other races. I mean, as long as like we're honest and respectful and truthful, I mean, people tend to get along. I mean, you know, at least in my experience. So I not that like I think we should be living in this like, you know, big multicultural, multiracial right. society. I mean, I don't think that's a very, you know, legitimate ordering of society. But I mean, I think it can right. work. You know, people like at least, you know, again, if you're being honest and respectful, you know, you can get along with people, and people do tend to get along. But one point that I wanted to make, and this is something that is very, very important to like everything that I do. I am very much convinced, and I think there's a lot of evidence to support this, that history, like our historical narrative on a variety of subjects, but especially some of these like more racially loaded subjects, have been totally weaponized by the Jews against whites. And there are numerous examples of this. I mean, we could talk about the fake Holocaust story. We could talk about the history of slavery and colonialism and some of these other things. And there's always like multiple sides to a story, but we're just given one anti-white story that's endlessly disseminated in our educational establishments, in the mass media, by our government, where whites are the bad guys that oppressed everybody, did all these horrible things. And I think if you really look into some of this stuff, that's not really the case at all. And of course, I'm saying this from my own sort of biased perspective as a proud white person, a proud white man. But that being said, I think there is a lot of evidence to it. And let me just give you one example. And this just comes to me off the top of my head because I remember we ran an article in the Barnes Review where we literally published excerpts of diaries of former slaves, like in the immediate aftermath of the Civil War, when all the slaves were emancipated. There were I can't remember what department. It was like some department of the federal government went down to the South and actually interviewed and collected diaries and firsthand testimony and experiences of former slaves. And what they had to say, at least in many cases, and maybe not all of them, but certainly a significant percentage, a significant portion of them, paints a very, very different picture of slavery than you would learn about in school. And some of these people were actually very, very sad that they were basically being thrown out into society without an actual job, without housing, this sort of thing. They almost like were and this comes across in a lot of their testimony. They were treated as basically part of the broader family. And this is something that is not ever discussed or brought up in school. And I'm not trying to like justify slavery by any means, or say it was like a legitimate institution or anything like that. I'm just using this to point out that the whole narrative of slavery, if you go to ask like an average person today, they would tell you that, you know, slavery was evil and all these slaves were being violently mistreated and oppressed and this sort of thing. And I just don't think that that is true, at least to the extent that it's been presented in our, you know, collective educational establishment in the mass.
Are you there, John? He kind of cut off abruptly. Io, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, you have okay. a different perspective, no doubt.
Absolutely. I would see it differently. I would say what he sees is that the best way I can say it is this, and it's difficult for white people to see this, but I would understand if I was white, I probably wouldn't see it either. What you're going through with the Jew that you can see now, like when he said these things are weaponized against white people, mm-hmm. this is what we've been dealing with for 400 years. Like, nothing you're dealing, like, it's a much broader situation because we have mRNA technology. But I just mentioned the syphilis, Tuskegee thing. All we're looking at now is, with these injections now, it's just a different type of technology and everybody they're going after now. But we've been through this, like, multiple times.
Right.
In terms of talk about slavery, the basic reality of it is there's nothing that you learn about slavery in school. Like, they didn't, nobody teaches what really happened to black people in slavery in school. You have to actually do what our scholars have done and gone and doing the research. If you had any idea of the things that were done to black people in slavery, every time I actually show somebody white, and I don't do it often, I don't look, unless they say they want to see it, and then I show them what occurred in slavery, they cringe. In fact, I'll just tell one quick story just to give a sense of it. I'll turn over to Dave. There's a brother who was, he collects artifacts. Relics from slavery, and he travels the country. And so he traveled the country, and he went, I don't know, it was Florida or South Carolina. He was somewhere in the South. And he said he was looking for it, and the white guy came to him and said, you want to really show you something? He said, come on, let me show you something. And he showed him all of these advertisements. I have some of them in my book with these alligators, and they're like eating, they have a black baby crawling there. And he said, well, let me tell you where this comes from. He said, my grandfather, his grandfather, his great uncle, he said that, you know, what they used to do, they would, because they would hunt alligators. He said, in order to catch them, they would take some of the babies that were born on the plantation, and they would use the black babies to chum the water. And then the alligators would come, and then they would, you know, go after the babies and eat the baby, and then they would hit them and slam them in the head and then take them and make shoes or whatever they're going to do. So this was just like one little kind of thing. I don't know that anyone can find any way that you can imagine that living in that kind of environment where your babies are taken and used as feed to catch alligators
right. Is
somehow something that would be comfortable. It's not really reasonable. But what the white folks are doing now is they're saying you did slavery, but the problem with the Jew is it's not that he's pointing out that white folks were involved in slavery. It's the fact that he's not pointing out that he was the one that engineered the whole thing. So it doesn't make sense for him to point finger at you without pointing the finger at himself, who was much more involved in the economics of it. It wouldn't even have existed as an enterprise without him.
Great point, and that is a horrific tale. And I mean, I don't doubt, hopefully we'll get John back, his power went out or something. And I don't doubt that those interviews existed. And I think that, but I think that because of what was going on, there's instances in all cases, and I would defer to you, Io, because you've done so much more research, as that possibly being more the norm than what John's talking about, where this plantation, they interviewed the people and they were all treated fairly and blah blah blah. So let's turn over to Dave. Oh, go ahead, Io. And
I'm just real quick, what he's talking about is this was true. The black people who had skills that could go off on their own and make their own way, they were happy doing Reconstruction. Mm-hmm. But the black people who didn't have those type of skills and would just say, okay, slavery's over, now you're in a bitter South, and they throw you out and say, go do for yourself. You have no land. You have no money. you have nothing. They would have felt that way because at least they got a meal when they were on the slave plantation, but it doesn't mean that they actually liked being enslaved.
That's a great point. Dave, your thoughts? Dave Gahari.
I mean, and I don't know a lot about this, but what I do know that something that stuck into my head, it still does, is that, and I think it illustrates that the blacks couldn't have been feeling that they were part of the family, being in an inferior position.
Right.
Back in the colonial days, up in the North, of course, the South is the, they're the bad guys. The North is the good guys. You know, the fucking Jews media, right?
Right, right.
So up in the North, when the Minutemen would go off to do what they were doing that created this once great nation that the Jew has destroyed almost single-handedly.
Yes.
The women and the elderly and the children would be in fear of the black slaves who would come after them to attack them while the men were away. So if they were so happy, why would they be doing that?
Yeah, great point.
I don't think they were happy. There probably are instances like H.K. Edgerton, you know, that black Confederate guy who I've interviewed, who don't have a grudge. But, I mean, especially with what the Jews have done, taking over the education system with their piece of shit media, fueling the racial flames. Who the hell's going to, and nobody reads anyway, who the hell's going to know about this shit, right?
Yeah, good
point. So we're at the point we're at now where nobody's going to be talking. You know, Io feels the way he does because of what he learned.
Right.
He's passed down, you know, from generation to generation. I don't think they made that shit up before the Jews media poisoned everyone. And yeah, the Jews media has been poisoning everyone for a while. I like to bring up the fact that the New York Times began to omit race in crime stories in 1946, not 1996, not 2006, 1946. So these Jews, they're way ahead of us. They organize, and they want to hurt us, all of us. So I say, fuck the past. Let's go in the future and take on these sons of bitches, because if we don't, and Io and I have said this, we're dead meat.
Can I interject here something?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Io. John's just about back. We'll give John a chance, too.
Okay. This is one thing I want to say, because what I try to focus on a lot, and I talk about in the book, if we don't learn the modus operandi of the Jew, it's very dangerous because he does the same thing over and over and over again. So a good example is, and like I'm even listening in this conversation, they're very effective. I am not saying that there's no black crime. Hear me, definitively. There's black crime, and there's too much of it. But if we really look at what's happening in this country and talk about crime, as bad as the black crime is, it doesn't come anywhere near competing with what's happening with the banking system, with these forced injections, with the opening of borders and all the collapse. Here's what I want people to remember. You think that there's so much black crime because the Jew is using the same exact tactics that he used to use. In the past, he did it with Leo Frank. Leo Frank is raping people. So if Leo Frank is raping people, then he does a movie and puts it with black people, and now you think black people are doing it, and y'all talking about this black crime is out of control, and black people start being victimized. The same thing is happening today. I hear white folks talking. The rape, the statistics, first of all, let's remember something. In the history of this country, the abuse of black people is never documented. Like, when you say rape, if I were to say, if you look on paper, who was raped most in the first 250 years of this country? And since we were 1619, who was doing the most? Well, it was clearly black women. How many of them were documented? There's not one, because it wasn't even considered rape. Like, the crimes, so it hasn't changed today. The crimes that get committed against black people are not documented. More importantly, and this is the only reason I think it's so important that we talk, I realize why y'all think that we're, that the crime is so out of, now don't misunderstand me, it's bad, but it's nothing like what they're saying. You know why you think that? And I saw this only by talking to white nationalists. When I look at my phone and I look at what's happening, what comes up on my threads are white folks, police officers blowing our brains out, somebody white saying something violent to a black person, they get into a scuffle. Everything I see is white aggression against black people, the guy choking us to death. When I was talking to the white nationalists and they showed me their phone, because I was like, what are you talking about, this stuff black people are doing? They said, let me show you. And they sent me the stuff and I got into where I could see the algorithms. Even me, I'm going to be 100% honest. Even me, I was like, oh my God, what's going on? I was like, these are my people. And I'm going, what the heck is happening? Then I said, wait a minute, don't be an idiot. Who controls these algorithms? I said, why haven't I been seeing this? And when I started investigating those things, what I found is, one, some of them are from a long time ago. Two, a lot of times you don't see the beginning of them. When I see them on mine, it's a white woman coming by calling a black woman an N-word, spitting in her face, and the black woman beats the hell out of her. When I see it on the white thread that comes up, all you see is the black woman beating the hell out of her. Then I also see the dates of them. Some of them are 4 or 5 years ago, and they come up one behind the other in the white threads. I don't see any of those. So I'm like, why do I constantly see what the white folks are doing? And I said, the Jew, here he goes again.
Yep.
So right now, as we speak, each of us know the most prolific pedophile rapist in the history of the world that we know. No one knows anybody more than Jeffrey Epstein. Yep. And now Ghislaine Maxwell. Two Jews who had a Ponzi scheme for raping white women. How is it that people are talking about black men are the ones raping white women?
Great point.
It doesn't even make sense.
Your insight about the catered algorithms and the targeted algorithms, brilliant, man. That's exactly what's going on. I believe we have John Friend back with us. John, I don't know how much you heard of Io's reply to you, but please jump in.
I have no idea what happened. My entire router just like went totally down, so I think I said my little spiel, and then as soon as I was done and was waiting to hear a reply, I just totally lost connection. So,
let's tell you what, we're pretty late. Actually, having witnessed the entire thing, it was a really good repartee between your statement and then I replied. Dave jumped in. So let's open up the phone lines. There's a lot of people waiting already. 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. Say it thrice, 512-248-8252. And our first guest is a Paisan from West Virginia. Chance, welcome. What's on your mind?
Giuseppe, how are you? Buonasera.
Living the dream.
What a great bunch of, what a great panel you got tonight. I got to tell you, Tata Grazie. You sure you didn't entice him with free cannolis now?
Everybody gets free cannolis from Giuseppe.
I got two questions for all these great guys. Number one, I'm hearing you talk about Marburg hitting the scene. And I'm wondering, Marburg, is that soon to be followed by the Marstein and then the Marmowitz flu? That's number one. Yeah, and then number two is everybody's talking about RFK Jr., RFK Jr., and my second question to all three gentlemen is do you think the chicken swingers would be controlling RFK Jr. too? And I'll take my answer off the line now. Buena notte, Giuseppe.
Buona notte, brother. Let's start with Dave Gahari. Dave, your thoughts on what Chance asked about.
Yeah, Marburg, if that hits, we're screwed. I read that book, The Hot Zone, which is pretty much the book to learn about what happened in Africa with Ebola. And they don't even know where it went, where it came from, if it's coming back. So if they use that, we're done. It's horrible what they saw, what people went through. I mean, you just, you know, you hemorrhage, you just bleed out, you just explode, basically. As far as RFK Jr., I mean, he's pro-vaccine. He comes from a, you know, a family who's very pro-Jew and pro-Israel. His uncle was the first politician to understand the electoral value of the Jew, voting bloc, Kennedy. And by the way, Kennedy was the president who instituted and allowed and gave the green light to Agent Orange in Vietnam. So, you know, the Jews media paints Kennedy as such a great guy. Yeah, he's probably light years ahead of the pieces of shit that are in politics now. But RFK comes from a long line of liberal chameleons. So, of course, he's going to take his order from the Jew. Just watch episode 3 of In Black and White, and you'll see who controls the politicians.
Your thoughts, Io, on Chance's question?
Yeah, on the John F. Kennedy thing, Robert F. Kennedy, I'd just be honest. The Jews killed his uncle, and the Jews killed his father, and then he married a Jew. So, and I actually like a lot of the things that he says, and he is fighting some things on these injections and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, he's married to a Jew. So I think they were having a party. If I'm not mistaken, she made people show their cards.
That's right, to prove they were vaccinated.
See, prior to a Jew, to make sure you got your Jew jab before you come to, you know. And then on the first question of Marburg, I actually have something that's in my room. I don't remember it by name. But let me just tell people this. For most of the things that they have planned to come, if you know what to get, just like ivermectin worked for this last thing, we call it the Fauci. If you know what to use, it's easy to fight these things. And each one of these things has some kind of cure. So at some point, we'll do a program. We can talk about the things I found from different sources that you can have.
Oh, I got a ton on that as well. Cool. Absolutely right. They create these bioweapons, but you got to keep in mind, I want to say two things quick, that every contagion in nature is weak. Nature doesn't want something to mutate and kill all life on Earth. So we got to do a show on that. And secondly, the whole reason the Jews are propping up RFK Jr. now is because Biden is so controlled by these radical Bolshevik 2.0 psychopaths that they need someone who seems like a sensible Democrat to create the two-party illusion and maintain it. Because right now, there nobody's going to vote Democrat unless you're a tranny or a child rapist or a coward, as you said earlier. And let me turn it over to John for his answer to Chance, and then we'll move on to the next caller. John, your thoughts.
I have not been following the Marburg virus or whatever. I'm very skeptical of any of these alleged viruses to begin with. I would say make sure you're working out, getting some sunshine, drinking water, and eating right.
Yes.
I think you'll probably be fine. Turn off the damn television. Because I don't even think anybody would even know it was a pandemic.
That's not going to help you from Marburg.
Media. Well, I don't know enough about it to even make a comment, but that's just my general approach to health and just the life in general. Secondly, about the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. situation, I was not aware that he was married to a Jew. That's news to me. And that is very disappointing to hear. And the whole vaccine thing, I didn't know about that either. You know, where his wife was asking for people.
It's his third or fourth wife, John. He dumped his main wife, who gave him like 5 or 6 children, and then he hooked up with that actress who plays Larry David's wife on the Larry David Show. She's a curvy Jew, and that's been his wife for the last 4 or 5 years.
Wow, I'm sorry. That's very disappointing to hear. I didn't know about that. Let me just say briefly. Okay.
Let me just ask a question real quick, because I don't want to make – is she actually a Jew? I don't want to be making an error there.
I'm not 100% sure, but I thought that she was. But I guess we have to verify that.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, let me
allegedly a chicken swinger.
I didn't know that she was Jewish. I don't really know much about his. You know, I haven't followed everything. I do think that some of the critiques that he's made of the COVID situation, of just the corrupt nature of politics, of this neocon Jewish foreign policy that we have, and all these absurd wars all over the world, that is all very positive. And I don't have any faith in mainstream politics, whether it's Trump or RFK or anybody else, frankly, for that matter. But I do think that it's at least the one thing that I would say that's good is that at least he's pushing the dialogue and the rhetoric in a more truthful, you know, honest direction. And that, to me, is really the only thing that I see as a positive. I don't have much faith in politics. Certainly, you know, the Democrats or Republicans. I think it's going to take a total, like, independent movement to even rectify any of these things or even to address any of these topics. I mean, you're not going to hear RFK Jr. talk about the Jewish problem or the Jewish issue or anything like that. So I think the only thing that I would say is that as long as he's making critiques of, you know, like the sort of critiques that I've seen him do on Twitter and in interviews and stuff, I think that's a positive thing, but I don't have much faith in it.
All right, we're coming up to the bottom of the hour, but let's try and squeeze in another caller. Dan from Washington, welcome. What's on your mind, and what's your question?
I had a question for Io. If he's in touch with other black nationalists like Farrakhan, as far as I remember, Farrakhan came out a while ago and said, I think he was joking, but he said, we'll take Florida. But I was wondering... I've had the idea for a while, just start making maps of a black area of the country, a white area, and maybe a Mexican area now. We need to focus on the Jews, but if we ever did get rid of them, what would you want, Io? Would you want a state? Because I've always thought black people should be given basically a state, territory. In the United States. But I don't know if you guys have talked about that, or what do you think about that idea?
Personally, I would want more than a state, but I'll say this, that southeast region corner of the U.S., I don't think we need any more than that. We get a nice little region there that's comfortable for, well, we got 50 million people, have some land and resource. I wouldn't have any problem. Y'all take the rest of it. We got that. We do what we do. We do our trade back and forth with Africa. We part of the same country. We got our stuff. You got your stuff. I'd be good with it.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's kind of what I just thought of making maps, even though the maps wouldn't mean anything, but it would just kind of start putting the idea in people's head. Because I think you guys did get screwed after slavery, and, you know, Lincoln got assassinated. They had the Liberia plan, and... I think, you know, segregation was never really going to work long term. That's, you know, I just, white nationalism, black nationalism, I think is normal. People want to live on their own, but nobody wants to be told, you know, what to do by another people. I totally get that. So anyway, thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Okay. A correction, Cheryl Hines is not Jewish. She was raised Catholic. So she is not a chicken swinger.
Yeah, she's not. I apologize for that one. But she did do the thing for
She did, yeah. She was a total vaccine COVID psycho, and they were throwing a big party. And that is true. I read that as well, Io, and she made sure everybody had to show their vaccine card after her husband was saying he's all against it all. It's pretty funny.
Yes.
All right, let's try and get another caller in before. Well, actually, it's coming any moment, so let's wait till after the messages. And Dave, tell everybody how they can watch your incredible new documentary series in black and white, and how they can get Io's amazing book, Jews of the Problem.
Okay, the book, MoneyTreePublishing.com. Just click on the shop page. The flicks, you can go to in blackandwhite.net. Or you could go to odyssey.com, odyssee.com, and search for In Black and White. And you can view it from the channel there.
That's awesome. And John, until the music comes up, tell everybody how they can follow you.
My main personal website is thegrealishreport.com. I'm on Twitter and Gab at @GrealishReport. And then, of course, I also write for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. The website is AmericanFreePress.net. And I also help edit the Barnes Review History Magazine. It's a revisionist history magazine dealing with all aspects of history, really. I mean, we focus quite a bit of attention on World War II, but it's not exclusively World War II revisionism. It's, you know, American history, it's European history, it's ancient history. And their website is barnesreview.org. And, of course, I would highly encourage everybody to consider subscribing to those print publications.
And we'll talk about a discount after these messages, and stay tuned for the final 30 minutes. We'll continue taking your calls on the Sane Asylum on republicbroadcasting.org and speakfreeradio.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So just how far down do you want to go? Well, we could talk it out over a cup of joe, and you could look deep into my eyes like I was a supermodel.
Uh-huh.
trust. We'll say nothing to no one, no how, or we bust and never crack a smile or flinch or cry for nobody. So I'll keep the pesos. Yeah, and that seems fair.
All right, welcome back to the final 30 minutes of the new two-hour worldwide simulcast of the Sane Asylum on republicbroadcasting.org and speakfreeradio.com. That was the Refreshments with their awesome song, Banditos. Dave Gari turned me on to that song, so I played it for him. That is a catchy little ditty. And both networks, republicbroadcasting.org and speakfreeradio.com need your help. That, you know, the worldwide Jew globalist media is just nothing but lies and filth and destroying, trying to enslave the entire world. Let's face it. You need to order Io's book, Jews of the Problem. You need to go to Dave's publishing imprint, moneytreepublishing.com. There's 20 books there that'll back up everything Io's saying. You need to go to and read and listen to John's work at The Realist Report, at American Free Press, at the Barnes of View. You need to listen to Harry Vox. It's too bad we don't have a time to play a clip from him because we've got so many callers. And you need to wake up because the world is full of stupid people, and don't be one of them. But please support both. Republic Broadcasting and Speak Free if you can, especially if you made some crypto dollars. Give us some crypto dollars. Okay, so back to the calls, and we are up. We're now going to talk to the militia guy in Texas. So good evening, and what's on your mind?
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Nick in West Texas, and Io and Dave know who the militia guy is. And John Friend, I haven't talked to you in a while, but... you may remember me. I run a weekly talk radio show, Christian Revolt, long overdue, because 6 years ago I figured the synagogue, the only thing they don't fear marches, protests, letter writings to congressmen, etc. The only thing they fear now is out of the four boxes, bullet box, ballot box, soap box, and jury box, they only fear the bullet box. So I'm a big pusher of constitutional state militia. The NRA, gun lobby groups, all they push is the right to keep and bear arms. Well, I don't need a damn amendment to tell me that I have a right to defend myself and my Christian family against the synagogue of Satan and their buddies, their useful idiots in secret societies. So, that's what I'm pushing. And, you know, Dave, you're right. Dead meat. We're dead meat if we don't get our militias together. But, you know, I've got a problem because everybody I talk to seem to be cowards when I bring up the M word, militia. I think they're more cowardly about the M word than the J, you know, being labeled an anti-Semite. What are your guys' thoughts on some type of a coalition of Christian and patriot groups who are constitutionalists getting together to start pushing nationwide the restoration of the state militias, which were all suppressed by the traitors in Congress in 1903, 10 years before the synagogue took over the issuance of currency. They knew that they needed to get rid of the organized guns if they were going to run the country and run the printing presses. So that happened in 1903. What are your guys' thoughts on some coalition of groups pushing state militia restoration?
Well, Nick, let's start with Dave Gahari, then Io, then John Friend, and everybody, I'm sure, has thoughts on that. Go ahead, Dave Gahari.
All right, I'll go quick because I know we got a bunch of calls. When I look at, what we're dealing with, the tattooed, pierced, cell phone obsessed morons, I don't think we have much choice of getting an organization together with enough people who understand, even the Second Amendment types. So I think that's probably why you're having the difficulty you are, Nick, and even getting a campaign manager. I think it does scare them, the militia word. I don't think it scares them as much as the Jew, because the Jew has programmed everyone to cringe when they hear the word Jew. I've had Jews tell me, don't say Jew, say Jewish. Fuck you. I'm done.
Yeah, I would say, I think that the focus is getting American people to recognize that the Jew is the problem. The reason I say that is, once you get enough people to identify the problem, Americans already have enough guns, to be quite frank. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be organized to defend the interests of American people, but I'm saying if people don't know who the problem is, then all the guns in the world and all the organization in the world, the way that the Jew operates, will have them shooting each other. Right now, what we need is a critical mass of people to see clearly, oh, all of these problems are coming from one source. After we know that, then we'll all know what to do.
Which is what?
John. Oh, go ahead.
What we know to do. Once they recognize that Jews are the problem, then what?
Well, when you have a problem, what do you do with it?
Well, the Founding Fathers gave us the Second Amendment because of tyranny and government.
It's a three-letter word. When you have a problem, you do what? Come on, Dave. What do you do with a problem?
Fix it.
There you go.
But what's
that's a future episode.
My final solution is the state militias. What's y'all's final solution to fixing it? I mean, do you think they're just going to walk away? Give us power back? Give the white and black nationalists power, government power back?
Well, you got the power, right? But you can't just implement the power without a platform. You know, you have to have a plan in place in order to use that power. You know, we all have power, you know. We all have, let's say, if we're healthy, we have the power in our hands to, you know, hit somebody. But you can't just go around hitting somebody. You got to have a plan and where they want you to hit somebody. So, like, yeah, hit them. But nobody is going to just take up arms and, you know, march against, you know, the synagogue of Satan until they understand about it. I think that's what Io was saying. We have to educate them about why they are the problem. Then I think that will follow.
And I'd like to interject and answer Nick's question. Nick, are you? I'm sure you've heard of Schaefer Cox, the Alaskan charismatic young man who put together like a 6,000 militia, and he was railroaded, and they sentenced him to 25 years for no reason. He was just, abiding by the Constitution. So I think what they did to Schaefer Cox is why a lot of people aren't interested in becoming members of a militia.
Well, I would agree. The problem with Schaefer Cox is that he was not pushing constitutional militia.
He wasn't? I didn't know that. Okay.
No. All of these militia groups, they're either maybe started by the feds or they're infiltrated. So you're stupid to try to push private militias as a solution. I am pushing the state militias that are in the Constitution. And I think there's a million black and white nationalists in the United States who understand the problem. It's overcoming the media, becoming, I don't know if y'all remember the magazine Media Bypass. That's what we got to overcome. And that's why I think we need, candidates who are promoting state militias as the final solution. I use the term final solution as a marketing gimmick just to get attention.
Right.
But it's also the
John
IRS.
Friend, let's get John Friend's thoughts, Nick. John, you haven't interjected yet. Go ahead, John.
No, I mean, I think everybody should be pursuing whatever strategy they think is best. And I mean, I I don't really know him.
I agree.
Nick, and I do remember you. I know we did an interview years ago. I'm not opposed to what you're doing. I think it's worthwhile. It's just tough. We're in a very tough position. And I think I support any independent initiative that is at least trying to address these problems openly and honestly. And really, you know, it's sort of like a marketplace of ideas. What idea, what strategy is going to be the most effective? I think that's still to be determined. I think one major problem is just a serious lack of leadership. And I think there's all sorts of problems. I mean, I've been involved in like the whole like white nationalist, like independent media, you know, movement or whatever for over 10 years now. And I mean, it's just, at least in my experience, and I think you can even like go on Telegram or Twitter and see this today, it's just constant infighting and shit talking and gossip and like all this other nonsense. And that's very, very demoralizing, frankly. I don't like hearing about gossip and hearing people talk shit about each other. I mean, I'd rather, you know, respectfully engage in a dialogue and maybe we have disagreements, but let's at least be men and talk openly and honestly with each other rather than like gossip about each other behind our back. And frankly, that's been a large part of this movement. And so I think we all need to kind of step up and get our act together and get serious about this if we really want to see any sort of change. And I also wanted to mention real quick, I agree with Io. I mean, like, to me, like, look, the Jews are the problem. And I mean, that's got to be front and center. I mean, frankly, like, I've felt like that for a very long time. And, you know, I know it's not an easy thing to talk about, but at the end of the day, that's really what the problem is. And until we can get to a point where we can have a serious conversation about this and at least try to come up with some sort of solution, I mean, we're not going to get anywhere. So that's, in whatever I do, that I try to make that, like, you know, the number one focus, right?
Well, it's why I mentioned coalition, because
we're piling up. You've made your point. Your excellent point, and appreciate your call. Let's move on to Miles from Maine. Miles, what's on your mind? Oh, Miles dropped. Let's move on to Sam in Indiana. Sam, what's on your mind?
Hello. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a 70-year-old White County boomer, and I can't get my medical records from the local hospital. I had to leave the VA because a group of us that were all white and under the Obama administration to get health care and pain meds, we were supposed to sign a special contract to be guinea pigs. And they said if we didn't sign the secret gag order in the contract, good luck living in Indiana because they didn't appreciate whistleblowers. You know, it's bad. I've talked to John Satmiller about it, Maggie Rose. I wanted to get back to John about it, but he passed away 2 weeks later, and I haven't contacted Maggie Rose yet because I've been under assault. I had burglars out here, and the police wouldn't even show up. I was out here on crutches 6 hours, and the cops didn't show up. They think it's a joke. People say to go local, go to your city council meetings, get involved, you know, play the community game. It doesn't do any good because of nepotism and covering up. You know, I've tried it all. Whistleblowers, Health and Human Services, Civil Rights Commission. I'm white. I can't get no rights. I don't have no rights. You know, so I don't understand what, you know, the black people are griping about. You know, they were not treated like this. A group of people that were supposed to sign these special contracts, and we were talked to like dogs. We were all white, and one white female was there. You know,
well,
I can't get any help.
That's an awful thing, Sam. But, you know, your situation is far too common under the Jew-controlled federal government and this ridiculous Big Pharma healthcare system, and I hope you succeed in getting some decent level of care, and that's horrific. But, you know, we can't say you don't know what black people are talking about because they have had their own challenges dealing with the Jew. So we're going to move on to Francis in North Carolina. Francis, what's on your mind?
Hey, fellas. Oh, there you are.
Hi,
okay,
Francis.
Good. Hey. For one thing, I'm floored, stunned, shocked, amazed, and absolutely flabbergasted at the whole dialogue that I've been hearing, which is absolutely fantastic. I applaud you all. I honestly applaud you all. One thing, to start off with, we don't need another reservation. The second reservation we have at the moment is the entire U.S. They started off with a small one and expanded into a big one. We don't need any more. As far as that goes, the border is shot, and it's a joke, keeping people at bay. As far as the aspect of a certain sector of society, Jewish, whatever you want to call these folks, regardless of what their ethnicity is or where they come from, yes, they had been a royal pain in the backside, and I'm being polite about it, because they have discovered how to put people against people, family members against family members, friends against friends, between sex, ethnicity, religion, you name it, it doesn't matter. They're using all of these avenues of life as a weapon against each other. Now, I'm not saying that everybody should go and sing Boom Baya and kiss each other on the back of the hand. That's not what I'm talking about. It's talking about treating people heart to heart, because that's where the love of humanity comes in, and people have forgotten about that. That doesn't mean you have to kiss someone's backside like the Jew person would like for you to do. No, enough of that garbage. That hasn't gotten anywhere, and so forth. So people have to remember where they came from, learn from the history, and go into the future with each other in a peaceful, loving fashion, as the Creator designed us to do. And if someone has an issue with that, then they don't know their spiritual growth as they once thought they did. So one has to search their soul and their heart to get to the bottom of the problem, and then go clean house and get rid of the problems that is out there. You have to start locally, and work your way up. How do you think they got started to begin with? They started locally and worked their way up to where they're at now. So whenever I see hate, I just try to do what I can to quell that hate. I try to do what I can to find out, communicate, okay, what do you need help with? You know? So with that, I'll have lime coconut and pie for my pumpkin pie, since unfortunately Corona's been desecrated by a drag queen. Oh, and enough of this damn, excuse my French. Enough of this drag, this politically correct crap about transgender. That's just a politically correct name for drag queen. Enough of that. If you want to have a drag queen, go to a show for that that perpetration. I'm sick of it. I mean, it's been rubbed in our face, and I'm fed up with it. So people need to get on with their lives, start learning about what they need to do, whether they've got a penis between their legs or a vagina between her legs, and get on with life. Stop this binary garbage and so forth and so on. You weren't born but with one sex or the other, unless there's something funky going on in the pregnancy. So the moms need to take care of themselves, the dads need to be guarding, and so forth. As to whether or not it's a single situation, that's between them and God, deity, or whatever you want to call. So with that, later, folks.
Well, great call. I'll give everybody a chance to chime in on that. I owe you start, then Dave Gaharry, then John Friend.
Okay, what I would say is, what she said, I think, is probably, with the little bit of time that we have left here, probably the most important thing we can walk away with. And it kind of goes back to the thing he was saying. What we need to do is what we're doing. See, what we're doing is different than some other people. We're not sitting around debating. We got black people from extreme positions, we got white people from extreme positions, but we're all coming down having serious dialogue about the problem and how to go to the next level. This has never been done before. Let us not forget that, and let's keep doing it and not undermine the importance and critical nature of this first step that we're taking. We're doing it right now.
Excellent point. Dave Gaharry?
Yeah, I don't want to say anything. Thanks for the call, but I think probably lightning round, get these calls in.
Yep. John Friend, anything quick?
Yeah, I agree. Look, I mean, this is something that I've been advocating for a long time. Like, we got to all talk about these issues openly and honestly as nationalists, as truth tellers, and this is certainly a step in the right direction.
Great points. Tony from Maine, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Great. Awesome topic, of course. How can we get everybody together? Like, everybody. Not the blacks and the whites, but the Chinese, the Aztecs, the, you know, Africans, South Africans, Tanzanians. How do we get everybody on board with this issue?
Everybody needs to read Jews Are the Problem.
But
somehow I have to see what the Jews are doing.
If I can say one thing to your point, I just had an interview with a Buddhist. I don't know how many people would have known this. I didn't know. He heard what we were doing. We did the interview because he said the Jews have come in and Buddhists believe in no killing. The Jews have come in, taken over Buddhism, and now are talking about forcing people to do abortions. And he said they've taken over that religion. So it goes to what he just said. How do we get people together? We tell the truth directly. And those who are dealing with it and are willing to fight and are not cowards and aren't afraid will begin to talk together. And that's how we bind together.
That's awesome.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. Let's go on to Miles from Maine. Miles, what's on your mind? We're running out of time, so please be brief.
Giuseppe Campari, che cazzo fai?
Hey, che cazzo fai?
Great panel. Wonderful to hear Dave Kahari and all you guys there, Io, John Friend, of course, and, of course, Giuseppe. But here's my contention. Maybe that book should have been written, instead of perhaps maybe the Jews are the problem, that ignorance is the problem, because I hear a lot of this stuff that doesn't make sense to me. Okay, we're going to worry about what happened to somebody 250 years ago and fight about it in 2023. Doesn't make sense to me. Another thing. Blacks are the victims of crime. Whites are 10 times the victim of crime, of police officer brutality, 10 times more. Let's look at the FBI crime stats. Blacks are 13% of the population, a 600% black-on-white crime as opposed to white-on-black crime. That's the problem. That's the ignorance. And part of the ignorance is that people are still listening to these fantasies and fables led by the people that control the media. So I think the best thing that AO can probably do is educate his people in the differences of whites and Jews and what's really happening, not what happened 250 years ago or 400 years ago, but what's going on now. Whites are 10 to 1 assaulted by police, and they have no representation. There's no white group of people like BLM or NAACP or anybody for whites. Whites have no voice. So where is this magical power from the white people? Where are these white supremacists? Because I don't see them. Now, I know they call any white person a name and call them a white supremacist, a white national, or whatever, but that's what I see. I just see them calling white people names. Now, if you call somebody black, the N-word, they can kill you. But if you call someone a white supremacist just because they're white or they believe in the Constitution, there's no crime there. So that's the difference that I think.
I want to give Io a chance to reply. We're running low on time.
All righty, thank you.
Sure.
Thanks a bunch.
Sure. He said the primary word when he started, ignorance.
Yeah.
So he says Black Lives Matter and the NAACP, and he's talking about them being for black people. Both of those movements were started by Jews, controlled by Jews, to undermine black self-sufficiency and to go out there and do stuff for Jews. So he don't even know that he's talking about Jewish movements that he's now blaming black people for. He doesn't understand what's going on. And he's going with the Jew narrative that black people are the problem. No, Jews are the problem. That's what he's got to open the ignorance. Amen.
What a great show. You guys, are going to have you back in a few weeks after three or four more episodes are out. God bless you all. We're like the Fellowship of the Ring, but we're not going to give up, and we're going to win. Stay tuned for Revolution Incendiary Radio with guest host Frederick C. Blackburn. We'll be back next week with a two-hour Sunday night Saint Asylum. Have a great week, everyone. Good night.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.